Let's open our Bibles, please, in the book of Ezekiel in the chapter 37. The 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, commencing to read at verse number 1 of this passage of God's infallible truth. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones. Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you. And ye shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by thee? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with anything of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and cleanse them. So they shall they be my people, and I will be their God. We end our reading there, and we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to thy precious word this morning. We pray that thou wilt write thy word upon each one of our hearts. We pray that thou wilt teach us afresh as we study thy book. Heavenly Father, give us open hearts, that the word of God may not only go to our ears, but the word of God may enter our very being. Help us, our God, our Father, to listen to what you're saying, and then to go out and do it in your precious and glorious name. Lord, I ask this for thy glory and for thy sake. In Jesus' name. Amen. In 586 BC, Jerusalem was totally ruined by the forces of Nebuchadnezzar and his great Babylonian army. Solomon's temple, of course, had been the great joy and the glory of Israel for about 400 years. But now the temple of God is reduced to ashes. You remember that after Solomon's reign, there was a division among the people of Israel. The northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, became known as Israel, and the two southern as Judah. Israel was always the nation or the people that would lead in the way to rebellion. She would go into idolatry, and then shortly after that, Judah would follow her. Both Israel and Judah would rebel against God. And then we would find that God would step in and God would judge them. They would repent of their sin, and then of course they would go back to the cycle of their sin repentance when God had judged them again. And over again they have followed that process or that path. God has been long suffering with his people. And then there came a time when God stepped in. And you'll find that Israel was captured. It was captured by the Assyrian forces. And they were brought into captivity. After that, we find that Judah also followed into captivity and into exile. But Judah was conquered by the Babylonian forces. And during that time of exile and captivity, that's when God gave Ezekiel the vision that we have in Ezekiel chapter 37. The historians tell us that Ezekiel was probably 25 years of age whenever the people of Judah were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. He was the son of a Zadokic priest. And of course he would have been raised therefore in the shadow of the great temple of Solomon. Ezekiel would have been following in his father's footsteps in the priesthood. And therefore, from his youngest days, he would have been trained accordingly. If you go back into the book of Ezekiel chapter 1, just turn with me for a moment, please. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were open and I saw the visions of God." He was 5 years into captivity. You remember those that were studying with us in the book of Numbers in the prayer meeting, that whenever a young Levite came to the age of 30, he would have been brought into the priesthood. And therefore we find that whenever he was 30, it says in verse 1 of chapter 1, it was the age that he had hoped that he would have been coming in to serve the Lord in Solomon's temple, that he would have been walking up those marble steps into Solomon's temple to be used of God and to minister to God's people. But he's not in Solomon's temple. He's by the river Chebar. He's in captivity. And I am sure that whenever Ezekiel was there by the river of Chebar, he was thinking to himself that he was of no use to God's service. Because he wasn't in Jerusalem, he wasn't walking up the steps into the holy place of God in the temple in Jerusalem. That he would never experience the glory of God. And yet, my friend, how different it was, because it tells us in that first verse that it was on the 30th year of his life. He says, I saw visions of God. You see, I'm sure that when he was taken captive, he thought there would be no use to God. He would never experience the glory of God, but the picture, the scripture record is completely different. And there by the riverside, in captivity, God revealed himself in his glory to his child. I mean, sometimes you feel that your situation is of no use, that somehow God couldn't reveal himself in your situation. Let me tell you, my friend, he's bigger than all the situations. And wherever God takes you, God is able to reveal himself and reveal his glory unto you. And reveal himself in a very wonderful and a very mighty way. And that's where we come to chapter 37. The revelation of God to his child in a day of captivity. There are four simple things that I want you to notice this morning in this chapter 37. First of all, there is a painful reality here. And the painful reality was that the situation of chapter 37, verse number 1, and the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. If ever a man was called to look upon an impossible situation, to look upon a hopeless situation, it was here in this passage of God's word, because Ezekiel, God picks him up and he carries him in the Spirit, and he brings him to a place, and then he sets him down, and he sets him down in a huge open valley. But there's something about this valley. It was a valley that is full of bones. Dry bones. Seems to be a hopeless situation. Friends, sometimes that's where God lifts you and carries me to. Sometimes God brings us and he carries us into a place of the impossible to let us see what is possible with God. And in the midst of the situation, God is going to deal with Ezekiel's heart, and God is going to teach him a lesson concerning his people here, that God is going to work a miracle. He asks him the question, we'll come on to that in a moment, can these bones live? And the Bible says he was carried into the midst of the valley, verse 1, which was full of bones. And then verse 2 says, it even gets worse. They were dry bones, but notice it says they were very dry. I suggest to you this is a hopeless situation. This was a painful reality as Ezekiel opens his eyes and he looks around and being carried. In this chapter, Samson's expectation as he went down to his wife there, down in Timnath. And then the Spirit of God carries him off into an open valley. And there's nothing else, only just scattered dry bones lying about. Hopeless situation. You know, had this been a valley where there had been people dying, friend, then there would have been a glimmer of hope. Because there in this place where people were dying, somehow by a miracle of God they could recover. Somehow by a miracle of God they could survive. But that's not the situation he's in. That's not what's in this valley. It's not people dying. If it had have been a valley full of corpses, then, friend, let me tell you this, God could have worked a miracle and could have been a great resurrection. But it wasn't a valley full of corpses. If it even had been a valley that was full of skeletons, surely God could have worked a miracle. There could have been a slight glimmer of hope because the skeletons are there and all they've got to do is put the flesh upon them and bring the sinews together and the muscles and all the rest of it and build the body. God could work the miracle. But none of those things were true. Because, friend, let me tell you, there weren't skeletons scattered here. There were nothing, only bones scattered here. They were very dry bones. And they were scattered all around. They weren't skeletons. They weren't corpses. They weren't dying people. It was just nothing else. Only a big open valley. And all he could see was the old white and bleached bones, bits of bones scattered here, there, and yonder. It was a hopeless situation. You know, I look at this here, I see it's a very dry place. Because there's nothing else, only very dry bones. Not only dry, but very dry bones. I believe there are many pictures in this passage of God's Word, because as God says here, this is concerning Israel. So it's a picture of Israel. It is not only a picture of Israel, I believe it also can be depicted as a picture of a sinner. But I also believe it can be a picture of the Christian, friend. And you know, the Christian's life becomes very dry. It becomes a very dry place. What does that mean? There's no joy. And when a child of God loses their joy, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is their strength. And you'll notice here is not only a bone or a place where bones are and they're very dry, but let me tell you, friend, it's a place of death. It's a dry place. It's a dead place. There's no life. There's no fruit here. Nothing. That's only death. And it's a dangerous place. It's not a place where the child of God would want to stay. You know, there are many of God's children, friend, and they're living a dry life. They've lost the joy. Hymn writer says, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord?" I was speaking to a person the other evening, and he said to me, he said, "You know, I look back, preacher, and I remember the zeal, and I remember the joy and the happiness I used to have, and serving the Lord when I was saved, and I've lost it. I've lost the joy." Friend, are you just like this valley of dry bones this morning? Have you lost the joy of serving the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, "Well, how can it happen? How can the devil sap the joy of a child of God?" Turn with me to the book. Keep your hand there. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, one could often say is the backslider's prayer. And the psalmist says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." He says, "Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." Verse 8. "Make me to hear joy and gladness. that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You lost the joy, friend. Bones broken. Make me to hear joy and gladness. You say, how can it happen? How can the devil sap the joy from your life? Disobedience. In David's heart, there was sin. There was unconfessed sin. There was undealt with sin. And David's acknowledging, he says, oh God, make me to hear the joy and gladness again. Go down to verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy. Oh God, give me back the joy. Why did he say restore it? Because he lost it. He lost the joy. And sad to say this morning, many of God's children have lost the joy of serving Jesus. You say, well, what does that mean, friend? Let me tell you. If a person has lost the joy of serving Jesus, let me tell you, they're in a backslidden state. You need to get back to him. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David had grievously sinned. And he cries out, he says, oh God, the bones which thou hast broken, God, you have crushed my bones. You have crushed my bones. The joy's gone. The enthusiasm's gone. The excitement's gone. The energy is gone. And friend, nothing will sap the joy of your heart more than sin that's unconfessed. And sin that's undealt with in your life. And you can leave your sin, friend, undealt with. And you can just walk on as if everything's all right. Let me tell you, my friend, you will walk as a bum of misery. Because you can't have the joy of serving Jesus. And walk in unconfessed and undealt with sin. Disobedience can take away the joy. Tell you something else. Discouragement can take away the joy. You see, for some years now, they have been in captivity. I'm sure at the beginning of the captivity, you know, the children of Israel, or the Israelites and the men of Judah, they probably hoped that somehow God would intervene mightily. God would step in. They were waiting for God's intervention. But friend, the bondage continues. The bondage continues. And now they sit down by the rivers of Babylon. What did the Bible say? It says there we wept. We read it this morning, Psalm 137. There we wept. When we remembered Zion. What does that mean, friend? They remembered the former days. They remembered the homeland. They remembered how it used to be. And they sit down and they weep. They've lost the hope. And they're lying there and they're sitting there beaten. I wonder this morning, do you feel like that? Is your soul dry? Are you here in God's house this morning and you're sitting in disobedience? Are you walking, my friend, in discouragement? You just remember how it used to be. When we remember Zion. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 37. It says in verse number 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. You see, friend, these not only was their disobedience and discouragement, they were disjointed. For the bones had fallen apart. I said, you see, that these were not skeletons that were lying, because the skeletons would have been the skeletons of the body. All you had to do was just cover it with flesh. Not at all, friend. It says here, the bones, bone to his bone, they came together. They had been disjointed. They'd fallen apart. Maybe this had been a battlefield, I don't know. Maybe they walked into the battlefield together, friend. And as the armies were joined together in battle, something happened. They were scattered abroad. What I do know is this. There's not the unity here. They're disjointed. It's a place that's very dry. And you, when God's people dwell in unity, the Bible says God commands the blessing. But sad to say, whenever God's people are scattered abroad, the once overflowing river of joy turns into a boneyard. The bones scattered. A painful reality. Let's very quickly move. The probing request. It says in verse number 3, "And God said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" What a question. What a strange question. Ezekiel has been carried by the Lord into the midst of this huge valley. And what a strange question for God concerning to say and to ask concerning dry, whitened bones that were just lying everywhere. And God says, can these dry bones live? Can these bones live? I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus whenever he came to the house where the young woman was, and whenever she was lying there dead, the Lord Jesus said unto the people that were in that house, they said, you know, he says, she is not dead but sleepeth. And the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. And humanly speaking, friend, humanly speaking, these bones have been scattered. These bones are separated. And just to ask the question, listen, can these bones live? And the answer is certainly not. A rational answer to this question is this, certainly not. And humanly speaking, the answer is certainly not. These dry bones, these very dry bones, they cannot live. They are scattered abroad. There's not a possibility. They're not even skeletons. They're just lying dry bones scattered all over the place. How could they live? But notice what Ezekiel says. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. See, I believe that God was bringing Ezekiel to see the great need of the hour. God was showing him the great need of the hour in the nation in which he lived, even sitting there by the rivers of Babylon, friend. And they were weeping and their hearts were breaking because they remembered how it used to be. And they were just as these bones. They were there in a valley of dry bones. And God says, listen, can these bones live? Is there any hope here? And Ezekiel answers, he says, O Lord God, thou knowest. In other words, he says, God, you alone have the answer. Friend, let me tell you, God is the answer. If anything happens here, it has to be of God. You see, with man, this is an impossible situation. But thank God, with God, all things are possible if we only believe. Can these dead bones live? Friend, we look around our land today and we see a land that is wandering far and far away from God, where people are getting so self-sufficient of themselves. Friend, they have got to a position they feel that they have a need of nothing. Let me tell you, God could humble us. God could humble this nation. And God could bring the nation down into a recession. Friend, let me tell you, when people haven't what they thought they had, and people would have to cry again to God, oh God, oh God, intervene. And this is what it is. He says, oh Lord God, thou knowest. Very quickly, notice the powerful revelation here. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, oh ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord God. Notice, my friend, God tells Ezekiel to do something. He has a part to play in the scene. Remember I said that Ezekiel was now 30 years of age as he sat by the waters, the river of Chebar? He had hoped that he'd been walking up the steps into the temple, but the temple's destroyed. He had hoped that he had been useful to God for him. He sits by the rivers of Babylon, and the people weep, and he feels that he's of no use and no help. And God says, Ezekiel, I have a job for you. Ezekiel, you may be away from Jerusalem, but you're a vital part of the plan. Is God telling you to do something, friend? In this dry situation that we're living, the situation of this hour, is God speaking to you? Is God telling you to do something? Is God showing you that you need to do something for him? You know, Ezekiel didn't know what to do. But God told him, you know what he told him? Two things, twofold plan. First ingredient, he said, prophesy unto these bones and say, hear the word of the Lord. So he says to him, preach to the bones. Preach to the bones. I'm sure Ezekiel said, Lord, there's no use me talking to dry bones. So that's useless. It's not people I'm talking to. It's dry bones. It's useless. God says, preach to the bones. God, what am I going to preach? Preach the word of the Lord. That's what you preach. That's what he says in verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Why? Because life comes through the word, friend. God's precious word. And his word will bring a change to the life of an individual. And thank God his word will bring a change to the life of the church. And his word will bring a change to the life of the community. What did Paul say to Timothy? He says, Timothy, preach the word. Preach it in season, preach it out season, because the word of God is quick and powerful. And the word of quick is living. The word of God's living. And if there's going to be life on these bones, preach the word because it's living. And if you want life, you've got to go to the word. It's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. There's power in the word. Romans chapter 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look at verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. In other words, he preached the word. Friend, this seemed to be a foolish thing. Imagine a young man standing there in the midst of a very dry valley, and there's nothing else, not a man standing around him, just only little dry pieces of bone. And he's standing preaching to them. Boy, the world would laugh at you. What a fool. But he says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And that's what we have to do, friend, today. We've got to preach the word. We're not to water it down. We're not to try and improve it. We're not to try and rationalize it. We're not to apologize for it. We're not to philosophize it. We're not to be timid about it. We're simply to teach and to preach the word that God has given. You and I are not responsible for the result. But we are responsible for the duty that God gives us. And God says, preach the word. Just keep your hand there. Turn to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3 it says in verse number 1, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Your duty and my duty, friend, is just simply to be faithful to God. Just do what God commands you to do. You don't have to make the results. You've got to do what God tells you to do. Look at verse number 5 of Ezekiel 37. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. That's what God says. God says, I'll do it. You just preach to the bones. The first thing, we bring them the Word of God, friend. And then secondly, go to verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Because you see, after the bones, friend, maybe you should read verse 7 and 8. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, there was a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Now, it's not only scattered bones. Now, there's dead bodies. Because the pieces of bones, they started to move together miraculously. And he said, I heard a noise, and there was a shaking. And the bones began to move, and then the bones become together, and one joined the other, and the skeleton was formed. And then when the skeleton was formed, another miracle happened, friend, because he says, listen, I saw the sinews, and he says, I saw the flesh come upon you, upon them, and he saw, I saw the skin, and they covered them. It's a miracle of God. There's no bodies. But there was no breath in them. No breath. Here's the second ingredient, verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. God breathes the wind into them and gives them life. You know, by our own strength and by our own wisdom, we could gather crowds of people, friend, and yet there would be only dead bodies. That's all there'd be. Through advertisement, through gimmicks, there's many a man has gathered a crowd, but all he has is dead bodies. That's all man could accomplish with all his devices, with all his strategies, with all his programs. But if our goal is to see dead bones live, friend, it'll take the divine power of God, the Holy Ghost. It's the breath of God. See, without the breath of God, friend, listen, notice what happened. The bones came together, the sinews, the flesh, and even the skin covered them. But no life. And you can have all the outward signs, friend. You can have all the outward signs, but let me tell you, if there's no life, then there's powerlessness. And it's only the breath of God and only the energy of God can touch the situation. And surely when we look across our land, we say, oh God, come again. Breathe. Breathe upon us, Lord. Breathe upon this congregation this morning. Oh God, breathe upon every individual that breathes and professes your name. But oh God, give them the power to serve thee. Give them the desire to go forward in your precious name to win souls for Christ. And as I finish verse number 10, look as it says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet. An exceeding great army. That's the precious results. They lived. In other words, God fulfilled his promise. Look at verse 5. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. That was the promise of God. So what happened in verse 10? God fulfills his promise. Why? Because God's people fulfill their duty and responsibility. God says, Ezekiel, you preach, you prophesy to the bones. He says, Ezekiel, you call to the winds. You see, there had to be servants that were willing to be used. And friend, you and I have got to be willing to be used of God today. God wants to take us up and God wants to use us. And thank God, make no mistake, if God speaks and God promises, thank God it'll come to pass. And the Bible says they lived. And not only did they live in verse number 10, they stood up upon their feet. In other words, ready to move forward. What as? An exceeding great army. Thank God they're going to accomplish something. They're going to accomplish something for God. As I read that passage of God's word, friend, I just said, oh God, please. Many of your children are lying down, defeated and discouraged today. No longer standing on their feet. They've lost the joy, they've lost the happiness of serving you, Lord Jesus. And they need the breath of God, the wind of God to blow again. And I said, God, please, what you did that day, God, do it again. He's the same God, friend. Hasn't changed. He's still able. You know what God is able to do in this hell? God is able to get us as God's children to stand on our feet again. And when we're standing on our feet, friend, listen, we're just reporting for duty and say, ready for service, Master. Ready for service. Is that you? Are you reporting for duty on the hill this morning? Child of God, I'm asking you a straight question. Has every child of God reported for duty on the hill this morning? Can you honestly say before God, here am I, Lord, and I'm standing on my feet, Lord. I don't want to be a dry bone. I don't want to be sitting there around the rivers of Babylon weeping and crying. And defeat and discouragement. God, I want you to use me. I want the wind and breath of God to flow and breathe upon me. I want to be used of God. And here I am. I've come to your house this morning. And it says, here am I, Lord. And I'm reported for duty. Standing on their feet, the Bible says. An exceeding great army. There's no more defeat for him. They're ready for service. Let's claim the victory. It's already won. Let's claim the victory, brother, sister, in Jesus' name, that was won at Calvary. And God give us the grace to go forward and say, Lord, here am I, Lord. Just use me. For Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before thee this morning. We confess that many of your children are defeated and discouraged, downhearted. Lord, as we're looking in the book of Nehemiah and the Bible classes this past weeks, and we saw the people in fatigue, burnt out, exhausted. We saw your people frustrated. Because they lost the vision. We saw your people as failures. But they said, we're not able to build the wall. And we saw your people fearful. Heavenly Father, that's the picture of many a child of thine this morning. And yet, our God, we thank thee that when thy word is proclaimed and we get the word of God in our hearts and we get the wind of God and the breath of God in our soul, that we can stand on our feet again. Report for duty, ready for service. And God, you can make us an exceeding great army. And I pray in Jesus' name, as you did it after the day of Pentecost, and even though there was persecution and even though there was opposition, Father, we thank you, Lord. No matter where they went, they preached the word and spread the gospel and people were saved. And God, you added to the church daily such as were being saved. And God, you're still the same. Please, God, do it again. And please, God, do it with me. Every brother and sister in your house this morning. Please, God, work in our hearts. For Jesus' sake.